Good morning, this is Bill Whitney, substituting for Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. On Friday, the Dow Jones Industrial Average lost 140 points, so all weekend investors had been wondering what would happen next. Well, so far, so good. In the first half hour of trading on Wall Street, the Dow started up. It was up over 20 points at one point. Right now, it's just a point or so behind. This is the first full day of trading around the world, and overseas stocks fell, but not by very much. We have two reports, beginning with Dan Revive in London.
European stocks are lower today, reacting to Wall Street, but not doing as badly as New York shares did on Friday. British broker Anthony Abrahams is happy to say that compared with last October, European investors are going their own way.
I think it is fair to say that we definitely have unhinged ourselves at this moment.
And in London, this is no Black Monday. Stocks here lost more than 1% today, but market analyst Michael Clark says there's no euphoric bubble to burst as there used to be.
We seem to be in a much better shape than we were in October. We've seen the froth creamed off. A lot will depend on what Wall Street does this afternoon.
A similar tale is told from Tokyo by my colleague Gordon Joseloff.
One trader summed up the Tokyo stock market action this way: it was bad, but it could have been a lot worse. The Nikkei average dropped almost 300 points, or about 1.3%, but on light volume with no signs of panic selling. Traders were encouraged by the volume figure and by the relative stability of the dollar, down just under 1 yen on the day, closing at 128.50. Market losses were greater, however, elsewhere in Asia. Hong Kong stocks down almost 2.5% and Sydney down 3.3%. Gordon Joseloff, CBS News, Tokyo.
Gold prices are up today. A move by West German authorities has raised doubts about the Reagan administration's justification for the 1986 air raid on Libya. At the time, officials said it was in retaliation for the bomb blast that killed two U.S. servicemen at a West Berlin discotheque. They said Libyan leader Gaddafi was behind it. But today, Anna Tomforda of the BBC says a West German woman, Christina Indrikite, has been arrested in the case.
The authorities are saying that the woman who has now been arrested disappeared soon after the Berlin attack, and they suspect her of having carried the bomb into the bar, while they insist that the woman now arrested did not mastermind the attack.
West German officials say the woman was working for Palestinian terrorists, but they've offered no details. In the Israeli-occupied West Bank, Palestinians cry out in anguish. The anguish is over the rising number of Palestinians who've been killed by Israeli soldiers since unrest in the occupied territories began last month. The unofficial toll is now over 30. And today, a Palestinian was apparently killed by civilian gunfire. Details from Martin Bash in this report, which was submitted to the Israeli military censors.
Two Israeli civilians were involved in the shooting death of one Palestinian and the wounding of another in the West Bank. Military sources say a Jewish settlement leader and a security officer were driving through an Arab village near several settlements when they were pelted with stones. They fired into the air before giving chase. Israeli radio said police will question the pair. There were reports of more violence throughout the West Bank and Gaza Strip. A number of refugee camps were clamped with curfews. Several Arab merchants shut their shops. In East Jerusalem, authorities arrested two Palestinian reporters and ordered them held without trial for up to 6 months. Also, a top UN official is meeting with Foreign Minister Shimon Peres about the problems in the occupied territories. The envoy is conducting a fact-finding tour as part of a Security Council resolution. Martin Bash for CBS News, Jerusalem.
From Moscow comes the announcement that the Soviet Union will participate in the Summer Olympics in Seoul, South Korea. Robert Helmick, president of the U.S. Olympic Committee, is pleased.
Obviously, the competition is going to be a lot tougher, particularly in many of the events where Eastern Europe is strong. But top-level athletes, most everyone wants to go up against the best, so it means that we'll really have much better competition than we've ever had.
This will be the first time since 1976 that both Soviet and American teams have been at the Olympics. The Carter administration boycotted the 1980 Games because of the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. The Soviets retaliated by not attending the 84 Olympics in Los Angeles. Soviet leader Gorbachev has told a Chinese magazine that he'd like a summit to help resolve long-standing tensions between his country and China. But in Beijing, there has been no rush to the appointment calendar. John Shan reports.
Gorbachev's interview with the Chinese magazine is a gesture of goodwill, but does not address what the Chinese consider to be the main issues. Though there has been some improvement in strained Sino-Soviet relations over the last few months, the The Chinese maintain that there cannot be a dramatic breakthrough until the Soviets reduce the number of troops on the Chinese border, withdraw from Afghanistan, and stop backing the Vietnamese occupation of Kampuchea. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beijing.
Power in the Reagan administration goes on trial for ethics law violations this week. The story from Rita Braver.
The jury will have to decide whether former White House political advisor Lynn Nofziger is guilty of influence peddling. He's charged with four counts of illegally lobbying former administration colleagues on behalf of several high-paying clients, including WedTech, the Bronx defense contractor, now under a series of criminal investigations. Nofziger is expected to argue in court that the ethics laws are confusing, and he never believed he was violating them.
I am absolutely convinced of my innocence. Frankly, this kind of thing is just isn't something that anybody would go out and deliberately do.
But independent counsel James McKay is expected to say that intent is not the issue. What's important is that Nofziger violated federal ethics statutes. One former colleague Nofziger allegedly lobbied was Attorney General Edwin Meese, who then worked in the White House. He is scheduled to testify during the trial. Meese's appearance will be embarrassing to the administration because he himself is under a separate investigation for his own ties to WedTech. Rita Braver, CBS News, Washington.
The crisis in Arizona politics seems unlikely to be resolved without an ugly fight. Jerry Bowen reports.
Arizona's Governor Evan Meekum served notice over the weekend that he intends to fight.
I intend to fulfill my obligations and responsibilities to my constituents in this state who have elected me as their governor. Resignation is not an option.
Already facing a recall vote tentatively scheduled for May, Meekum was indicted on six criminal charges at the end of last week for concealing a $350,000 campaign loan. And at the end of this week, he'll learn whether he'll face impeachment in the Arizona legislature for the alleged violation of campaign spending laws. It's unclear whether he'll repeat his defense that it was all an honest mistake when he delivers his State of the State address today to the legislature. What is clear, say a growing number of Republicans and Democrats, is that Meekum's ability to govern has been crippled, and the indictment did not help. Democrat Art Hamilton is House Minority Leader.
The indictments, I think, will greatly affect his capacity and ability to govern this state in a most difficult period. And I think he has to give the most serious of consideration as to whether or not he ought to resign.
And more, the question here is not if Evan Meekum will be forced from office, but when. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Phoenix.
10 past the hour.